Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. With 64 years of industry connections to have products in stock when others can't. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague's handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rental. You can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Over the weekend, AWC started softball championship. The event ends on Tuesday, and you can still purchase tickets at the gate. More info, YumaDailyNews.com. Yuma's Most Wanted is up on the website. Find out this week's lineup of suspects that authorities want to see behind bars. The rap sheets have been included. Take a look at YumaDailyNews.com. It's starting to get hot out in Arizona. The heat has been creeping up to almost triple digits. Arizona Public Service has been partnering with local organizations to help heat relief for vulnerable populations. Get more info, YumaDailyNews.com. Yuma Fire has been informing the community about emergency vehicle response safety during EMS week. Yuma Fire says they strive to respond to every emergency as quickly as they can. Learn tips on car safety on the website. The Padres enter their series against the Giants over the weekend. The team plays the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. Get the latest on the website. You can listen to the game live on our talk station, AM 560 KBLU. For the latest local and state stories, go to YumaDailyNews.com. I'm Kendra White.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. I'm in studio here with couple of my good friends. We got Russ Clark, of course. Good morning, morning, sir.
Good morning.
We got Cody Beeson.
Good morning.
And we've got Mr. Howard Blitz.
Good morning.
So this morning we're going to talk about a couple of things. I'm going to start off with the most important, and that is yesterday was a big milestone in my life and in the life of my youngest child. Wilton Henry Garner learned to ride his bike. So, now, why is that such a big deal? Obviously, riding a bike, that's a big milestone in a kid's life, right?
Yeah.
That gives you a lot of freedom that you haven't had before. You can cruise, you know, three or four times faster than you can normally walk around. And he is the oldest of my children, or he's now older than any of my other children who learned to ride a bike, because most of them learned to ride right around that fifth birthday. Almost right exactly on that fifth birthday. Maybe that was my mentality. I thought, you're 5 years old, you need to ride a bike. So we spent a lot of time, a lot of backache, you know, leaning over as you're holding on to their bicycle seat and the handle. I've invented a couple different ways. I've thought about marketing them to, like, you know, hold on to the bike and allow them to have a little bit of wobble back and forth until they gain their balance. But I'll tell you the best trick is you get an old used bike that's a little too small for them, and you either take out the crank and the pedals altogether, or you just remove the pedals and so the crank and is not in their way, and you let them kick. They call it a kick bike. They sell.
I've got them.
Yeah, they sell these.
Yeah.
But you get something at a Salvation Army or a Goodwill or something like that, and they learn to like kick, and then kind of balance on their own, because that balance is the most important aspect of riding the bike, right? And then once they've got that, then you know they can not overcorrect in steering and get the pedaling down. So he learned to ride his bike, and that was a big deal for him. Another big thing was my son Noah. He had a play, and it was David and Goliath. So he attends Yuma Lutheran. And I'll tell you what, I love this school. My kids have attended public school. They've gone back and forth between homeschool, public school, private school. And of all the schools that my kids have attended, this school really, they're the real deal. They teach math. They teach science. They teach the things that the kids need to know. And they teach religion. They teach about God and how the world was created and about Christ. And so they were doing this play, David and Goliath. And so we had Noah volunteered to make all of the weapons for the play. So the night before, of course, we're out there in the shop making swords and shields and spears. And he's right in there with me. I mean, my kids have a little bit of a collection of tools, and he's right in there sawing and sanding and painting with me. And he said, you know, I really love this. This is my favorite. And that's awesome. You know,
it is.
When, cause he's, 11 years, well, I don't know. He just turned 12. He's 12 years old now. And, you know, 12 year olds, they still like their dad, but they're starting to get that little teenage twinge and feeling a little rebellious. And so that felt really, really good. So when I was thinking about what I would decide to talk about on the radio today, I was thinking about those two, and I thought, okay, you know, we got this Dobbs v. Jackson case out there, right? This is the leaked case from the Supreme Court that allegedly is going to overrule Roe v. Wade. It hasn't actually been published yet, so it is not law, but the Supreme Court has not backed down or given any indication whatsoever that this is not their actual position on the issue.
Right.
And so there's fairly good reason to have hope that Roe v. Wade will be overruled. And that means the states get to decide again what the laws will be regarding abortion. So I was thinking, do I talk about abortion? Because it's such a heavy topic, and it's already a Monday morning. Right, and but it's important. It's important for us to understand. And so I listen to a lot of news. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I listen to what's being discussed about this issue, and what is not. And hopefully, I can fill in some gaps there. And so the two most important reasons I want to discuss this decision, one is named Wilton, and the other is named Noah. And I'll tell you why, because Wilton was an unplanned pregnancy. Now, my wife and I are married, and we've been married for over 20 years. But when Wilton was conceived, we were really contemplating doing permanent contraception, right? The SNP. And so we were really contemplating that. And then along comes the day where Brittany shows up. She's got this glow, and I go, "What's going on?" And she goes, "I'm pregnant." So there's Wilton. And Noah, we adopted, and he was born to a mother who could not care for him. And it was an unexpected, you could even say an unwanted pregnancy. But she went through full term. She went through and gave birth, and since then, we've had the opportunity to meet her. When Noah was about 9 years old, we met her, and he gave her a big hug, and she cried and cried and cried as she hugged him. Life is precious, and we can't overlook that or overstate it too much. So How much time do we have before I go into...
You got 2 minutes.
Okay.
You want to take a break now?
Let's take a break, because I'm going to get into the decision itself. I'm going to read parts of the decision. And don't start yawning just yet. These parts will really make sense and help you understand where the court is coming from as they made this important, monumental decision that could overrule Roe v. Wade. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with 4 locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Good looking start to the work week. Temperatures right on track for late May. But gradually, though, the heat will return and we'll be looking at some triple digits starting the middle part of the week. Today, though, this feels like late May. Sunny and 96. And overnight, temperatures are comfortable in the upper 60s. But Mother Nature starts to heat us up tomorrow, 99. And Wednesday, temperatures near 100. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
And Doug. Chances are you're jamming in your car right now. And since Liberty Mutual customizes car insurance, so you only pay for what you need, Limu and I are going to show you some safe car dance moves. Hit it. Everybody, check your blind spots real quick. Now hands on the wheel. Put them 10 in 2 and move your head like a bird do. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. We do estate planning, and I talk a little bit of estate planning on the show here, but first of all, you got to have a family. Well, you don't have to have a family. You have to have a legacy and something you want to pass on to the community. Something you want to pass on to the causes that are important to you in order for you to be motivated to have an estate plan. But today we're talking about family. We're talking about the gift that children are. And I think without reservation, I can say the thing that gives me the most joy on a daily basis is my children. And so I want to talk a little bit about this case that has come out. It was leaked, and so it shouldn't have come out so early, but it's out now, and we can't put the genie back in the bottle. So we're going to talk about it and talk about its implications. We are in the latter weeks of May, and this is the month that Supreme Court cases start being printed. And so we should see a case. It's possible this case was decided in December of last year. It's possible that this case could be published any day now. So I'm keeping my eye out for that. But this is what it says. And so for anybody that is looking for it on the internet, You can pretty much find it if you just look for Roe v. Wade or Jacks or Dobbs. That's with 2B, D-O-B-B-S, v. Jackson. And you'll find that Politico, that is the publisher that first, or the media outlet that first published it. And you can find it there. If not, email me. My email is sean@yuma.law. I will send you a PDF of the full version of it because it's kind of hard to print out if you don't go to the right spot. So I put together a full PDF of it, so it's very easy to read without all the ads popping up all over the place, and you could print it out and you could take some time to read it. It's long, but it's great. It talks about the history of U.S. law. It talks about the history of common law in general, going back to Old English law. So here's, I'm going to read a portion of it, and bear with me a little bit here as I do, because it's actually very, very well put together. There's a lot of skeptics on the left that say that this decision was not rooted in the Constitution, but you decide for yourself. I'm going to read it. For the first 185 years after the adoption of the Constitution, each state was permitted to address this issue in accordance with the views of its citizens. Then, in 1973, this court decided in Roe v. Wade that even though the Constitution makes no mention of abortion, the court held that it confers a broad right to obtain one. Until the latter part of the 20th century, there was no support in American law for a constitutional right to obtain an abortion. Zero. None. No state constitutional provision had recognized such a right. Until a few years before Roe was handed down, no federal or state court had recognized such right. There was not even a scholarly treatise, meaning description by a scholarly person printed in any type of magazine or publication, generally a law review, that recognized such right until just a couple of years before Roe v. Wade. Now back to reading. We hold that Roe, and then the later case Casey, that's Casey versus Planned Parenthood, which Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973. Casey versus Planned Parenthood was decided in 1992, and it was to discuss the same issue, whether or not the right to have an abortion was a right protected by the Constitution. The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision. It is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people and to the people's elected representatives. The permissibility of abortion and the limitations upon it are to be resolved, like most important questions in our democracy, by citizens trying to persuade one another and then voting. That is what the Constitution and the law demand. I think that's pretty clear. I'm going to read a little bit more on it, but up until that point, what they're saying is, we think the people ought to make the laws. We don't think, as the justices of the court, of the Supreme Court, that we should sit here in our chambers in Washington, D.C. and make laws and make policy for the rest of the country. We want to return that freedom to the people and the elected representatives of their respective states. I don't know why that is so incendiary, that we will be granted back our freedom. The court is acknowledging that it overstepped its bounds, and it wants to give the rights back to the freedom back to the people. So let's go out and riot. Let's go out and throw Molotov cocktails. Let's go out and chant outside of their houses and intimidate their children, because they're giving the right back to you. If you want to talk persuasively to your fellow citizens, to your representatives, then do so and participate in what we enjoy as a democracy. But don't go intimidate a couple of judges so they can act like tyrants and make policy for the rest of the country to follow. I don't understand where there's any justification in that. Set the issue aside of what they're discussing. Set the issue aside of that it's a human life that we're intending to protect here. Set that issue aside and look at what we are. What is this government? Is it a government of 9 individuals, 5 of which, with a majority decision, can make laws that we all have to abide to? Or is it a decision that we should, as a democracy, discuss among one another?
You want me to comment?
I think you have a comment burning inside of you.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things here.
So why are the people so angry? Can you think of a rational justification of why they're so angry that the justices are giving the rights back to the people to vote and then participate in a democracy that has laws and where we abide by those laws? And in a democracy, obviously, we're not all going to be happy with those laws, but we have the ability to elect our representatives and allow them to participate.
Well, one thing is the judiciary branch never had any ability or rights or whatever you want, was never assigned the activity of making law. All their job is to render opinions on a particular case at a particular time. That doesn't make it law. It just says, this is our opinion in this particular case. The legislative branch is the one that's charged with making all laws. And it says so in the very Article 1, Section 1, right there. But I think a bigger issue is we've got to, I think we need to look at the differentiation between a right and a privilege. There's a huge difference between the two. A right is something that is inherent in us, okay? We have it built into us because our Creator gave it to us. Because that's what it says. I mean, Thomas Jefferson wrote that in the Declaration of Independence.
Can you take these rights away?
Nobody can, except for the Creator.
And
the Creator's the only one that, because he created your rights, then he gets to take them away. But
inalienable.
Inalienable.
That means you can't take it away.
So therefore, and then a privilege is something where if something's inherent, if somebody has to give you something, has to give something up for you to obtain it, then that's not a right. And a right is built into you. You know, it's like lead. You don't suck the heavy out of lead. Lead is lead. It's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But a privilege is where somebody has to give something up in order for you to obtain it. Okay. And that's where we misconstrue things. Just like, well, we have a right to a gun. No, you don't have a right. Nobody has a right to a gun. If you had a right to a gun, then you could go into any sporting goods shop and just take the gun. Well, you can't have a right to a gun because somebody has to give something up in exchange for that. And therefore, you don't have a right to health care. You don't have a right to an education. You don't have a right to an abortion. Why? Because somebody has to give something up in exchange for those things. It's not inherent in you.
So,
okay. So that's something that I think needs to be.
I think that's important. Yeah, that's important to say. And so, quick clarification before I get into this: there are two types of laws. There's statutory law, and then there's common law. Mm-hmm. And statutory law is where legislatures go and they adopt statutes, right? They vote on them, and then the governor or the executive branch of, you know, if it's a president, it's a national federal law, then it's signed into law.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know that. Common law is where the law is explained, and that is where you take a set of facts and you apply them to the statutory law. So the courts aren't making additional law to the statute. What they're doing is they're explaining how that statute applies in particular circumstances. And so every time that circumstance comes up, we don't have to have a trial. And then courts decide, in this circumstance, based on this law by the legislatures, this is how we're going to rule. And that is common law. And it's important that we understand that both exist, that legislatures make little small laws that are generally one paragraph, two paragraphs long. Unfortunately, the federal laws, very, very long and complex. But it's ideal if the statutory law is very short, to the point, and simple. And it should be as unambiguous as possible, so clear to be understood. However, there are an infinite number of circumstances that cause gray area. And not everyone, we cannot, every one of us, go to the court and when we have those sets of circumstances that brings up those gray areas. And so we need the courts to interpret that law. That's what they do. They interpret it, but their interpretation does become de facto law, and it's called common law. So I just want to explain that legal aspect of it.
I just have a question on the common law, because I was always under the impression that common law is law that's developed over time through habits, through tradition, through no legislative branch, no legislative body created the law.
That's half of it.
The law is just created because that's how everybody did it.
Well, common law, what it is it's circumstances that occur. And then the law is applied to those circumstances, and the courts say, in this circumstance, this is what the law means. This is how it's going to come down. We're going to come down on the right side of the road, or we're going to come down on the left side of the road, and that's what it means. So we can go back, and individuals can read those cases and say, wow, that case really fits my circumstances. Okay, what was the outcome? It looks like I would go to jail. Okay. So I can understand what's going to be the outcome, because it's impossible for the legislatures to put in every scenario that could unfold that would be relevant to the statute that they're voting on. And so that's what the courts are for, is to take scenarios that are relevant to applicable laws and interpret the law in light of the scenario. So that's common law. That is the definition of common law.
Because you hear... I've heard the term common law marriage.
Yeah.
Meaning that, okay, these two people didn't get a piece of paper signed by the state or whatever governmental entity is involved. They just lived together for the last 20 years.
Yes.
Okay? They're considered to be married, or at least everybody, including governments, recognize that marriage.
And it's a bit of a misnomer, because it's actually by statute that common law marriage is either allowed or not allowed. In Arizona, The statute says there is no common law. In other states, they'll say, yes, there is common law. If you live together for 7 years, then you are de facto married. Okay. And you can request the rights and the privileges that go along with marriage. Okay. And so that is a misnomer in that particular instance, because it is common law because it's based on circumstances, but it's actually the statute that allows it or disallows it.
Oh.
And in Arizona, they disallow it.
That's interesting to know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I want to take a scenario here. We're talking about the right to have an abortion, okay? Now, what you said is very interesting, because the right to have an abortion is generally meaning going to some type of medical facility, and a physician or some type of medical personnel assists you in aborting a fetus. And that person is going to get paid, generally, right? They're not doing it free. And so who is going to pay for them? And a big argument out there is that we cannot discriminate against the poor. And if you want to expand that, and if you say, well, poor people are more defined in different racial categories, then you can't be racist in how you allow that right to be applied by saying if you don't pay for it, then you can't get it. And so they say, well, racial minorities are more likely to be poor, and therefore you're racist if you don't pay for their right to have an abortion. That's really tying together very, very loose arguments that I think that chain falls apart very quickly.
Yeah.
And so I don't ever want to have my tax dollars applied to an abortion clinic where that person then goes and it has an abortion on my dime. Okay, for sure, for sure. I do not want that to happen. And that's been a heated public debate even after Roe v. Wade. Okay, fine, a woman has the right to control her own body. Whether or not that's immoral or moral is another question. But should I have to pay for that woman to exercise her right? And my answer is an emphatic no. And your answer
well,
is...
Well, that's why no one has a right to an abortion. Okay, because somebody's going to have to give something... You're going to have to find somebody to give you an abortion, okay?
Right.
So you, and they're going to be, they're expecting to be paid for it. So who should pay for it? Well, I would say that it would be the person that wants the abortion. Just like nobody, I don't have a right to a gun. Who's going to pay for the gun for me? Well,
right.
I'm supposed to pay for it.
But if you pay for it, you do have the right to possess it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And use it in self-defense.
Well, and the same thing here. This is why... You don't have a right to an abortion. You have a right to pursue happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if happiness in your mind means getting an abortion, okay, then you can pursue it. But you don't have a right to it, and that's where we fall. That's where this argument, I think, falls down. So now you're going to have to come up with the money. You're going to have to figure it out. And if nobody's willing to give you an abortion, then I guess you're not going to get an abortion. Or if you go to some back alley street guy, whatever, then you're putting your life and the fetus's life at risk.
Tell me when we're coming up on a break, because I want to talk. I want to chime in on that.
You can do it anytime. You got 10 minutes.
Okay, good. Okay.
Somewhere along the line, you're responsible for your own life.
Yes. Now... We know that we have rights that cannot be taken away from us, okay? Now, we also have the right to defend ourselves. We don't have the right to go out there and just kill somebody. But if somebody is going to abuse my rights, going to threaten me or my family or property, then I have the right to defend myself. That's a constitution right as well, right? And we can also, if we have the right ourselves, then we can delegate that right to a group of people to help uphold our rights, and we have done that, and that group of people is called the police. Absolutely. And so that is authorized. In order to protect ourselves and our rights, then we can use violence in defense of our rights. Now, let's go back to abortion here and talk about a woman's right to control her own body, because what the mobs out there are chanting in front of these justices' houses and on the streets is, you know, you can't control our bodies. You can't control our bodies. And I tend to agree. I don't want to control anybody's body. I want everybody to have liberty and freedom. And although I disagree with what a lot of people do with their bodies, that liberty is awesome and it's ugly at the same time. And I'm all about liberty, even if people choose to do wrong with it. But what they can't do and what we can do ourselves and therefore delegate authority to do is protect other people's rights from being infringed upon. And so let's go back to a woman's right to use her own body how she sees fit. And I'm going to first use an analogy of drinking alcohol. Okay? So a woman and a man, we all have rights to drink alcohol. Okay? Now, of course, there was an amendment. I think it, what was it, the 19th Amendment?
Was it?
18th Amendment, okay, that was prohibition, and then it was rescinded, and 21st Amendment or 23rd Amendment? 21st. Okay, 21st Amendment, that rescinded that. So anyway, right now it's legal to drink alcohol, not for minors and not even for people that are adults who are 18, but, well, depending on the state, but for people over 21. And so you can drink alcohol, okay? No law against that. But if you drink alcohol and then you lose control and you commit some type of harm on another person, then there are laws against that, right? So if you get in a car and you start driving, then that car can easily be used as a weapon or turned into a weapon. And so you had the right to drink, right? You also have the right to drive. But you combine those two, and I think there's a legitimate argument that the rest of us have the right to be free from harm on the highways, and therefore we can create laws that restrict your right to drink and drive.
Well, I mean, we don't even really need to do that. If you operate your automobile and you fall asleep, you're breaking a law right there. I mean, so laws exist. They're on the books already. It's your behavior that dictates
correct
what happens.
Correct. And I think the most important point that I want to get across here is it's only your behavior when it brings a third person into the scenario, somebody who's innocent, somebody whose rights are going to be infringed upon, their right to life, yeah. Right? We have a right to live. And if somebody's going to be out there and do a behavior that has been demonstrated to take away that other person's right, an innocent person's right, then we can say no. We can stop that, and we can use force to stop that. And so therefore, I'm delegating my ability to use force to stop it to police officers for them to use force and give tickets and arrest people who do that.
Well, it's a really interesting question, because really then now we can advocate for gun laws for the same reason.
Yeah, okay. I think that if
you're abusing... I would disagree with that. There's already laws on the book. You can't murder. You can't harm.
Mm-hmm.
You can't initiate fraud. You can't initiate force. It's the action, okay? It wasn't the drinking that caused the problem. The problem was the individual. It wasn't the gun that caused the problem. It was the individual.
Right.
And that's who we need to penalize. But you don't know until the actual action takes place who's going to be that person that's going to kill somebody with their automobile because he drank too much.
Right.
You just don't know that. And there's
But we can look at statistics, and we can say if we got hundreds of thousands of people dying because of this behavior, then that behavior is outlawed. And we can have discussions on it, and you can disagree with my viewpoint on that, and that's what a democracy is. Then we elect representatives to make rules and laws, and then they vote on them, and the governor signs them, and that's the law. And then we both have to abide by it. Now, you may say, well, that's a bit much, and I might say that's not enough, but we have the discussion, and that's what the Supreme Court is saying here,
right.
That when we decide that a third person, an innocent third person's rights are being infringed upon, then you go to the people, you allow them to discuss it, you allow them to present their representatives based on voting them in, and then those representatives make laws. That's what the Supreme Court is saying. I think that's a correct use of democracy or a republic.
Well, just like, well, the Constitution was developed solely for a national government. All the other laws, other than the ones allowed under the U.S. Constitution, are supposed to be made by the states.
Well, the 14th Amendment applies.
Or even a lower level of government.
And I agree. The closer the government to the people that can address the issue, the better.
Yep.
Okay, so now let's go down, and just like there was a spectrum with drinking and driving, right? Drinking, okay. Driving, okay. Combining the two, not okay, especially if you're drinking excessively, and I tend to agree with the law that drinking while under the influence ought to be against the law. So that's my position on the issue. Now, whether two adults should be legally allowed, regardless of their race or gender, to have consensual sex, I think the government has no say in that. If they're both consenting, and that's because there's no third party being injured here. Now, there's an argument that families are being broken up and society has an interest in morality and things like that, but you can't, I strongly believe you can't legislate morality. You need to let the churches do what they do best, and that is preach that being good tends to lead towards a happier, more satisfying, fulfilling life, and then let people decide freely on their own. So you can't legislate morality. So I don't think that it's the government's position to make laws on consensual sex. And there's an argument out there with this case that because Roe v. Wade is going to be overruled, there's going to be other cases that outlaw, again, because there have been laws in the past that outlawed interracial marriage or homosexual activity, and those laws are now out, they're no longer in existence, and they're deemed to be unconstitutional because it's found that it is an undue burden on individuals' freedoms and privacy in order for the government to impose and not only to find out and investigate those laws, but to enforce those laws. So, well, let's get back to the spectrum that it comes to a woman having the right over her body. Does she have the right to have consensual sex? Yes. But she also has the right to make sure that if a male is involved, which is required for conception, that he uses contraception, right? And she also has the right to make sure that she's using contraception so she doesn't conceive. Once she conceives, then we get into that very slippery slope as to when does a life come into being that is worthy of protection under these inalienable rights that are outlined in the Constitution. That's what we're all about. And that's what this case addresses specifically. It says that this Mississippi law, which is the argument that brought this case before the court, was that nobody that is more than 15 weeks along can knowingly and only for, let's see, I'm just going to read the law here. It says, except in a medical emergency or in a case of severe fetal abnormality, a person shall not intentionally or knowingly perform or induce an abortion of an unborn human being if the probable gestational age of the unborn human being has been determined to be greater than 15 weeks. Okay. So to support this, the legislature made a series of fact-finding analyses that said, why? Why 15 weeks? And this is what they found, that an unborn human being's heart begins beating at 8 weeks. An unborn human being begins to move in the womb at about 9 weeks. All basic physiological functions begin, hold on, I lost my place here, are present at 10 weeks. Vital organs begin to function, and hair and fingernails and toenails begin to form at 11 weeks. An unborn human being's diaphragm is developing, and he or she may move about freely in the womb, which is otherwise known as quickening. You know, we hear about the quickening of the baby. That's when it begins to move within the womb. Begins to take place at, let's see how many weeks it says here. That's right after 12 weeks. It is found that most abortions that are taking place after 15 weeks employ crushing, cutting, and hemorrhaging of the fetus. And that is what is the that is a being that is constitutionally protected from being killed. He has a right to life. And that's what this law is about. And, well, essentially, the court is saying the states may make the law on this issue. We're not going to do it. You people have your freedom. Make the laws. We've got to go on a break now. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
We're talking today with Plan Z Dieter Mary. I had added 20 pounds to what I lost from gastric bypass, and I wanted to get that off, and I wanted something fast because I need fast results or you lose interest. I looked at a lot of different diets, trying Weight Watchers, Nutrisystems, and I decided I need to find out how to stop this.
Mary's not alone. She wanted to stop the yo-yo dieting. It's obvious she tried a lot of things, including gastric bypass surgery, and she still needed help.
And so I tried Plan Z and lost 29 pounds, had great results. The best thing was, after the first 10 days on the diet, I felt wonderful, but I had lost 4 inches of belly fat around my middle.
You want to lose the belly fat? You want to learn how to get weight off quickly and keep it off? Check out PlanZDiet.com. PlanZDiet.com.
The NJCAA Division I Softball Championship is returning to Yuma May 24th through the 28th at the Pacific Avenue Athletic Complex. 16 of the best junior college softball teams will once again make their way to Yuma to compete for the national championship. For more information, visit NJCAA.org.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm in studio here with a couple of my friends here, Russ Clark, Howard Blitz, and Cody Beeson.
Hello.
And so we were talking about how there's a different spectrum of choice, right? And so do we want to outlaw individuals' ability to act and use their body as they see fit? And the answer to that is an absolute staunch no. The question is, when does an innocent third party come into play? And you can apply that with anything. Do you have the right to go on your property and start a fire? Yeah, you should. If there aren't, you know, if there are restrictions, what are those based on? And is it based on the safety of other innocent people? And so that's where it comes in. You don't have the right to infringe upon my rights, right? You have the right to do anything you want, but that right ends when my body begins, okay? So you have the right to swing your fists around, but that right ends where my face begins, right?
Yeah, you know, freedom has a unique situation where it doesn't mean you get to do anything and everything you want. Yeah, you can. You can do anything and everything you want, but not without responsibility. In other words, if I'm doing something that's going to end up harming you, then I'm responsible to put you back where you were before I harmed you.
Yes. Okay? Yes.
This is what we mean by
freedom. And sometimes that's not possible.
Sometimes it's not, but
because if you make me blind,
true,
you can't but undo
maybe,
that.
But maybe I have to do something for the rest of my life every day. I mean, it doesn't obviously reinstate your blind, you know, your sight. But maybe that means I have to do something every single day for the rest of my life for you. See, this is where we get into responsibility. And we don't put the responsibility on people. And you say, oh, well, it'd be too hard. Well, yeah, but maybe you should learn the lesson of not doing something that's going to harm somebody.
Yeah.
And that's what we're not doing today. We just think, well, I have a right to everything. You don't. You have a right to do anything you want so long as it's not harming somebody. That's what true liberty means.
Yeah.
Okay? And the law is that I don't aggress against you. As soon as I do that, even if I'm starting a fire in my backyard, okay, I have a right to do that, like you just said. But guess what? If that harms you, then I'm obligated to put you back together again. And if that means I have to buy you a new house, then I guess I'm going to have to do that. And we need to know that going in. Today, you know, we don't know that responsibility. We don't.
And I think because the government has overstepped its bounds so many times, that we just look and we say, well, is it against the law? And if it's not, then I'm going to do it. And we saw that on, you know, a just magnified mode with COVID. Well, they say that we have to wear masks on airplanes, and so that'll keep us safe, but we don't have to wear masks in this situation. We don't have to wear masks in that situation. And it's like, listen, are you sick? Right? are you going to go around other people that have compromised immune systems? Well, that would be responsible of you to wear a mask, please. Or do you have a compromised immune system? Then you would probably be prudent to wear a mask. But we've gotten so used to, well, this isn't required here and that's not required there. Therefore, the government has already predetermined whether or not that action is going to be safe or not safe. And therefore, I don't need to decide for myself on any of those issues of safety. So that is where I think, Howard, you've said we need to bring back the common sense and understand, hey, we're free to act. We're just not free to act in a way that is going to create harm without consequences.
Right.
And the Constitution allows us to enact laws that will prevent an imminent harm. Where we've seen a behavior that creates harm against an innocent person, we can create laws that say that behavior is unlawful. And so I believe that women should be allowed to act however they see fit. So should men. However, if that act imposes any type of harm on an innocent third party, on an innocent person, especially the most innocent among us, which are children, then that act should be outlawed. Now, we have outlawed that in many cases. Russ looked up some stats for me, and he found that 38 states have fetal homicide laws.
Right.
And that means if you create an act of violence against a woman who is pregnant, and that pregnancy is terminated as a result of that violence, then you've committed homicide, fetal homicide. And in many states, 29 states, it doesn't even count at what point of the gestation of the pregnancy.
Yep, fertilization to birth.
And so that's, I think, a very good starting point. If you harm a fetus, then that's fetal homicide. And that person is entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think that's all the time we have for the show today. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Carrie Lake is lying about Karen Taylor Robeson in the race for Arizona governor. Why? Because Lake is trying to hide her record of supporting amnesty for illegals. Lake wrote that her plan, quote, allows them to remain. You heard that right. Lake supported letting 11 million illegals stay in the U.S. indefinitely. Lake criticized Donald Trump's immigration policies, calling them, quote, impossible. Lake claims to be a lifetime member of the NRA, but Lake only joined the NRA about the same time she started running for governor. No wonder Lake gave money to Barack Obama, even knocked on doors for Obama's campaign. Karen Taylor Robeson is a successful businesswoman who helped create thousands of jobs. Robeson will always defend our Second Amendment rights. and Robeson has a six-point plan to secure the border and finish the wall. Karen Taylor Robeson for governor. Read Karen's plan at KarenForArizona.com. Paid for by Karen for Arizona. Authorized by Karen Taylor Robeson.
The hardest thing to measure for most small companies is advertising return on investment, or ROI. Would it surprise you to know that most radio stations offer the highest ROI in advertising? Think 9, 13, in some cases 23-1 return when it's done correctly, which is long-term with a consumer focus. We can help you achieve that, but only if you want to. Go ahead and take the first step. Book an appointment with one of our marketing experts. Go to YumaAdvertising.com right now and take the first step toward marketing success.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row. If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.